Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to introduce, from the grade class of 1982, Susan Ansel.
Thank you, Allison. Dr. Bottoms, fellow graduates of 1982, DePaul Alumni Association, thank you so much for the privilege of representing the class of 82 at its 25th reunion celebration. I am honored and humbled by the opportunity. As I've had taken the time to think through potential comments and review the history of events and experiences that happened while we were on campus, it's brought back many fond memories and many smiles. I'm sure that Dr. Bottoms and his wife Gwen will concur with my fellow graduates that those who joined the DePaul family in 1978 were a special bunch. That was the year that both Gwen and Bob and the class of 82 came to campus. Interestingly, the weather for this alumni weekend, unlike most every other alumni weekend that I have attended, is forecasted to be sunny and warm. In a way, this is really a bit ironic for the class of 1982. As incoming freshmen, we arrived in Greencastle and moved into our dorms and temporary living units on a hot and humid sunny day. However, within moments of the departure of our parents, a monstrous thunderstorm blew up out of nowhere. It immediately blew in our luxury window box fans as the heavens let loose with the rain. In a way, it was as if the campus was being cleansed so the class of 82 would have the opportunity to write its story into the fabric of the DePaul experience. If your experience like mine is similar to mine, it's really hard to grapple with a concept that it could possibly be time for our 25th reunion. It seems like just a short while ago, we arrived wearing our Izod Lacoste shirts, our topsiders, and our whale belts. Now gosh, Lacoste shirts are still in fashion today, so it couldn't possibly have been that long ago. However, I'd like to remind you of a few events that happened on campus, important campus events and world events, that occurred between August of 1978 and May of 1982. To me, the campus events seem like they were just a few years ago, while the world events seem like they were a lifetime ago. Some of these events have come almost full circle, like the Lacoste shirts, and for some events, we're still bearing witness to the consequences of them today. When we traveled to campus, Jimmy Carter was president. We, like the students who came in the many years before us, were promised a replacement to Bowman Gym by our senior year. We came to campus at a time when kiss-ins were still politically acceptable and a way to meet other freshmen. Early in the fall, we got our first taste of the true college life experience by seeing a near riot on campus as several Wabash cavemen traveled from Crawfordsville and took Theta's hostage in hopes of negotiating for the return of the Monon Bell, which an enterprising young DePaul man had borrowed earlier in the year. It seems like nobody wanted to make the trade. Later that fall, the Tigers took on the Little Giants in Crawfordsville in an effort to win the bell back legitimately. Unfortunately, the DePaul men were not at the winning end of the game. Later, over winter term of our freshman year, the Fluttering Duck burned down. In world events, also in January, the United States and the People's Republic of China established full diplomatic relations, and the Shah of Iran fled the country. On campus in spring, we witnessed our first Little 500. Later that spring, DePaul announced that it was changing its grading system and it would add pluses and minuses to the standard letter grade potentials. We headed home that summer after being greeted with drenching rainstorms for our finals. Many a final were taken in a soggy state that spring. Over the summer, Chicago's Comiskey Park hosted its infamous disco demolition night, and Michael Jackson's Off the Well album was released. Shortly after we returned to campus for our sophomore year, ESPN initiated coverage, started by father and son Bill and Scott Rasmussen, DePauw alums. The groundbreaking took place for the Lilly Center, the Iran hostage crisis began, and the DePauw men took on the rivals from down the road again in an effort to return the Monon Bell to its rightful keeper. Again, unfortunately, the Tigers fell a bit short in November. In spring, DePauw announced the introduction of the Management Fellows Program. Its first graduates would be members of the class of 1982. Over the summer, Lech Walesa led the first of many strikes in the Gdansk shipyards in Poland, and the Solidarity Movement gained legs, creating the beginning to the end of the Iron Curtain. During our junior year, many of us decided to spend a semester abroad in one of the many off-campus programs. Back on campus during the fall, DePauw hosted its first economic symposium. POCO and the Preservation Hall Jazz Band performed. In November, we finally learned who shot JR. And at 33, Dan Quayle became the youngest elected senator for the state of Indiana. The Tigers traveled to Crawfordsville and played an amazing contest to come away with only a moral victory and a tie. The Bell yet again remained in Crawfordsville. In January, Ronald Reagan became president, and the Iran hostages were released. In March, Ronald Reagan was shot. In May, Pope John Paul II was shot. Over the summer of this year, the first recognized case of AIDS was discovered. In July, Lady Diana Spencer married Prince Charles. In August, Sandra Day O'Connor was appointed to the Supreme Court. Also in the summer of 1981, IBM introduced the personal computer that would change the way we all work today. Sure would have been nice if that had happened a few years earlier so we didn't have to do all of our computer programming with punch cards at the Science and Math Center. Arriving back to Greencastle for our senior year was a bit surreal. Who could believe time was transpiring so quickly? On Old Gold Day, a restored East College and rededicated Meharry Hall was celebrated. In November, finally, for the first time in our college careers, DePauw defeated Wabash by a score of 21-14. Also ending a previously undefeated season for the Little Giants. The Monon Bell was rung loud and long over campus that weekend, and classes were actually canceled on Monday in celebration of the victory. We learned that Dean Moore still wished to be an undergraduate. The other significant event of November, who could ever forget? Luke and Laura from General Hospital were married. Over winter term, AT&T divested itself of all of its subsidiaries. Amazing how that looks today. Spring semester of our senior year was full of interviews set up by the Office of Career Planning and Placement and full of walls of reject letters in every living unit as we were about to graduate into a very challenging economy. In April, we witnessed the dedication of the Lilly Center and thus became the class that really did have a replacement for Bowman Gym by our senior year. Our senior banquet was held at the Columbia Club in Indianapolis, and we were reminded yet again that Dean Moore and his wife still wish to be undergraduates. In May, commencement for the class of 82 was held outside on East College lawn with Dan Quayle as our commencement speaker. Other common events that occurred while we were at DePauw, although in no particular order, we learned the importance of Marvin's garlic cheeseburgers and Stromboli's, barbecue pizza from Pizza Inn. We took winter trips to the Pleasant Run ski slope. Who knew you could learn to ski in Southwest Indiana? We went to Toppers for 3-for-1 Little Kings Thursdays. We took occasional country runs and trips to Cataract Falls. We learned all the rules of frisbee golf and ultimate frisbee. We also learned the importance of service to others with the Cluck weekend work projects. And during our time on campus, the winter term mission trips began in earnest. Most importantly, through a combination of all these events, our interaction with the DePauw professors and the outstanding liberal arts education that was afforded to us, we developed into young men and women who were prepared to go forth into the world and make our mark. The value of a good liberal arts education is evident in the accomplishments of my classmates. Amongst the graduates of 82, we have doctors and lawyers, stay-at-home dads and moms, proprietors of businesses, teachers, principals, investment bankers, professors, musicians, researchers, and ministers. We've had classmates sail around the world while homeschooling their children. We have military personnel, artists, museum curators. We have authors, actors, nurses, and vintners, each making their way in the world, making a difference in the world, and carrying on building upon the experiences we gained while we were at DePaul. Dr. Bottoms, the class of 82 is proud to share with you its year of matriculation, is your first year in the DePaul administration. I'm confident that there will be many celebrations honoring the vast array of achievements that have been occurred under your tenure and leadership as the president, including the more diversified student body, improving the faculty-to-student ratio, the increased academic rigors and admission standards, the much-improved physical plant, the amazing capital giving successes, and the Janet Prindle Institute for Ethics. On and on. Said simply, Dr. Bottoms, DePaul is a better place because you are here. Thank you for your care and leadership. And finally, one thing I failed to mention about our graduation day was the gorgeous weather. As I suspect, with all classes, our preference was to graduate outside instead of in here in Kresge Hall. Graduation day came, and it was a beautiful, sunshiny Sunday in May, perfect for pictures of graduates in their caps and gowns with their families. As we marched through East College Gate, there was barely a cloud in the sky. However, as the ceremony proceeded, clouds began to build. As the commencement speakers rose to take their turn at the microphone, ominous patches blew up and then blew on by Greencastle. We successfully made it through graduation without any trouble. But literally, within 5 minutes of graduation, the heavens opened up yet again with a drenching rain. In a way, it was as if the campus was being cleansed. We were being told our time on campus was over, and it was time for those who followed us to have their opportunity to write the experiences into the fabric that makes the DePaul community. Class of 82, thanks for the fond memories. I look forward to a great weekend with you. Thank you.